I had no idea Brother Joe had spoken on this subject this morning. So I asked him earlier, what did you preach out of, or what was your subject? And he says, apostasy. Well, tonight we're going to speak about that a little bit more. So allow me to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. Now, I know you all have been sitting down for a while. You mind standing while we read God's Word, please? Now, we read this morning that they read in the book of the law, brother, from 6 hours. And you know what they were saying? Amen. Amen. So we read a little passage. Be all right. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for tonight, O Lord, thank you for the songs that we sang already, Lord. How much we owe. Lord, it was through a friend. Lord, perhaps some through a stranger that you brought this word into our life. So Lord, we did not want anything to do with your word at one time. But Lord, in loving kindness, you sent a messenger, Lord, to bring us the good news of salvation. Let us see our need of you, Lord, and save us from our sins. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Be exalted, O Father, this evening as we look into thy word. We pray, Lord, give us understanding. Above all things, O Lord, give us understanding. And Lord, that when we leave this place, we may rejoice in having heard thy word tonight. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Young Timothy has been given a charge which is very difficult. Has been given a commandment which is very difficult. But none other would do than young Timothy. The Apostle Paul trusted Timothy for this which he's about to write. Timothy, in case you didn't know, he's about 40 years old, a young man. He's Paul's son in the faith. What a tremendous task is laid before him. If you read in chapter 1, know what Paul says to Timothy. Verse 3 says, "As I besought thee to still abide at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Timothy has to deal with some things in the church that are wanting. Timothy, beloved, has a tremendous task from the apostle and tremendous trust from the apostle. There's older women at the church of Ephesus. There's older men, older than Timothy. There's rich people. There's teachers. There's deacons. And must need set those things in order. There's false doctrine has been introduced. Vain jangling had permeated every aspect of the church. From personal matters to church matters, the doctrines of devils, as we read tonight, had infected the church. Notice what he says in this chapter 4, and we'll stay basically here tonight. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh." So we have the declaration of the Spirit. We have the declaration of the Spirit that some will depart from the faith. Secondly, we have the method that is used to lure those from the faith. Thirdly, we have the means used to do so. And we'll expound on that in a bit. Nobody says, now he says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," and this word stands out, "some." Some. It shouldn't surprise you. It shouldn't amaze you that some will depart from the faith. I think as a young preacher, I learned this quick. There's no greater error than a preacher can make than to assume that all those that sit in the pew for many years are converted. It's wrong to assume that. And it's wrong for you to assume that sitting on a pew, listening to the word, makes you converted. We've been around, Brother Joe. I haven't been around as long as many other preachers, but I have seen some that have claimed to be and shown signs that they are truly converted and yet no longer walk with Christ. As a matter of fact, they hate the things of Christ. We've seen it. It was outward. It was mere profession. It shouldn't surprise us when we hear this from the Spirit Himself now. Some. Who are the some? Well, we read there in chapter 1, didn't we? Let's go back to chapter 1. Let's see these some. He doesn't mention by name who it is that will depart from the faith. He just says, some will depart from the faith. Look what he says in chapter 1, please, in verse number 3. We already said that some, you teach that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. But look what he says in verse 5. Now the purpose or the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of good conscience, and a faith unfeigned, when he says, from which some, you see that? Some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Though some have missed the mark and have deviated from the truth. As a train derails itself and is no longer on the course leading that train to its destination, he says, some have turned aside and are not back in that track. Who are the some? We don't know. But they're teaching. They're teaching, he says, desiring to be teachers. Look what he says right there, verse 7. They desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But they're teaching. So Timothy has to take care of that. Also in verse 19 of the same chapter, please.
He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, again, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They lost their course. They're on a sea. Don't know where they're going. And he mentions two, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Some. Also, we find some in chapter 5. Read with me. Chapter 5, please. And now here, he's talking about younger women. Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Some, look at verse 15. Some are already turned aside. But notice what they turned aside to. See, one to vain dangling, other made shipwreck. But he says, these younger women have turned aside to who? To Satan. Chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So now we have another cause of their swerving from the faith. And he mentions others. Verse 20 also, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So he mentions the some over and over again. Do a study in the word some. But now let's go back to our text. Chapter 4, please. Now he says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now, I'm not going to get into, is it a prophecy? I'm not going to get into, is it in the Old Testament? Perhaps during the time of Paul, because as you know, if you read some of the scriptures, they were prophets during the time of the Apostle Paul. There still were some prophets. Apostles and prophets during the time of Paul. They prophesied. Go read the book of Acts. Perhaps he's referring to those. But I think what's important is this. What the Spirit had revealed to Paul and to us tonight is this. Look at verse number 1. In the latter times, what is going to happen? See, he's not, some had already turned aside, obviously. We read that, right? Out of chapter 1. Some had already turned aside. Some already given or made shipwreck of their faith. But he said, now in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And I think, beloved, that it's addressed to every New Testament church. From here until Christ comes back. Now he says, listen what he says. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. This is apostolic truth. In a small verse, he has revealed, in a small verse, chapter 16, the great mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. He says, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This is part of the faith given unto the saints. Once delivered unto the saints. The revealed truth to us Christians. But he says, though it's revealed, though it's seen, some will depart. They'll give it up. Beloved, when he speaks about faith here, he's not talking about a subjective faith. He's not saying they once had the Spirit and now they don't have the Spirit. He's not saying they once believed in a salvific way and now they don't believe. He's not saying they were regenerated by the Spirit of God and now they're not regenerated. He's not saying that. It's impossible. What he is saying, that those that once held to some cardinal doctrines and teaching, such as the previous verse, beloved, have made shipwreck of that. They have abandoned that. We don't believe that anymore.
of whom Himeas and Alexander is an example. Know what Jude tells us. Look, let's go with me to the book of Jude. I don't know if Brother Joe mentioned this morning, but I'm sure he's mentioned it in some preachings. They would depart. Now, how are they going to do it? Because I want to know. I want to know. You have to know. Don't, the worst mistake you can say right now is, I'll never depart. That's the worst thing you can say. Self-confidence. Self-assurance. The only thing that keeps you and I from falling is what Jude says, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But he says in Jude 1, verse 3, he says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That is a historical, delivered, beloved, faithfully unto them. I want you to contend for that, Jude, once. Not given over and over again. That's what Paul tells Timothy, that some will depart from. They're not going to lose their faith. They never had faith. They never had truth. We'll see in a bit. It was pretense. Now, let me say this. Some may deceive themselves. Such is the case, but not here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. They will apostatize from the faith. How is it that they're going to do it? That's the word. Let's go back to Timothy, please. In 1 Timothy, we'll get back over here in Jude in a bit. Don't lose your place in Timothy. But he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and that word shall depart, is that word apostatize. That is to abandon one's profession or to abandon one's church. To forsake principles of faith which once he or she professed. I used to believe that. I used to hold on to that. But not anymore. Why don't you say, I apostatize. That's a better word, brother, than what he's called a deconversion. Why don't you put, you apostatize. That's what it is. That's the Greek word. And that's the Spanish word. You apostatize from the faith. Episteme. That is, they removed, they deserted from the faith. Now, let me show it to you in a positive manner. What does it mean to depart? Well, he says in chapter 6, please, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's see if you can pick it up where it's at, okay? 1 Timothy 6, 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Do you know what the word apostatize is? Withdraw thyself. Withdraw. Get away. So that's what it means when you speak about apostatize, is to remove, to desist, to desert what you once believed. I believe you probably touched on this, Brother Joe. In Hebrews chapter 3, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed. Take heed. Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in what? Departing. There's our word. In departing from the living God. In deserting. In withdrawing. In removing. Take heed of that. Also, he mentions it in Luke. Let's go back to Luke. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 8, please. In Luke chapter 8,
He mentions this, because this is the parable of the sower and the seed, and this is the one that fell among thorns. Fell among thorns. We see the explanation of it in verse 13. These are on the rock, are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And again, there's nothing wrong with receiving the word of God with joy. No, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong. There's a joy. But nobody says, here's the point. And these have no root. But, he says, look what it says right there. Look what Luke explains. Which for a while believe. And in time of temptation, they apostatize. They fall away. They have no moisture. They don't have heaven's moisture. They soon dry up. They shrivel up under the heat. Apostatize. How is it that this happens? Well, let's go to Timothy. They will depart. They will be removed. Some will, some. We don't know the some, who it is. But the method. And you'll be surprised when you read this. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, from the faith. And then he says, giving heed to seducing spirits. See that? Giving heed. Now what did he say? Till I come, give attendance to reading. Right? Give heed to yourselves. Here he says, how is it going to happen? How is one going to leave the faith? What is it that happens first? Listen to the word of God. Giving heed. Is that a casual hearing? Is that a mere glance? Is that a mere picking up a booklet? What does it mean? I want to know. Because no one is exempt, right? Somebody comes and, look at this beautiful picture of this guy and this lady and a lion in paradise. Would you like to live in paradise forever? Or would you like to be a god? Right? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean giving. Okay. What does it mean when it says giving heed? Well, the word is prosecco. Let me explain it. You know the word echo, right? Echo, pretty simple. I say something and it sounds back again, right? Echo, go, 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 go. Over and over again. Pros is what? You got your pro and your con. Right? Pro is what? For echo. I hold my mind to the doctrines of seducing spirits. Listen to it again. I hold the mind, or I pay attention, I willingly hold my mind towards what? An imposter. That's the word right there in verse number one. That seducing spirit is a plano. It's an imposter. It's a misleader. James says it this way. I can't quote it in English anymore. I have to go there. Let's go to James. I'm sorry. I cannot quote that. He says here, verse 16, do not err. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You give heed, you hold your mind, you pay attention to an imposter or a misleader, or better yet, to a deceiver. That's what it means. Why does John warn us? Why does John tell us this in his epistle? 1 John, please. Let's go to 1 John. Why would he do that? Why would he warn us about this method in which this has begun? Why would he warn us and how it's introduced into the mind? Yeah, but it can happen to you. It can happen to me. But we're not talking about, Brother Joe, someone who has never read the Scriptures. But someone, remember what he says in the later chapters, be not deceived by philosophy and the so falsely called science. We're not talking about ignorant people. We're talking about people who study. But they give their mind to that which doesn't profit. A seducing spirit. An evil spirit. They give assent. They give in. Here's unchangeable truth. Here's uncompromisable truth. And they start listening to a seducing spirit. Look what John has to say, please, in 1 John 2. He said, well, they were part of us. No, they were not part of us. Let's get that clear. They were never of us, brother. They weren't. 1 John 2:19. They were not from us, but they were not of us. And I, by the way, I love the way John writes. It's very simple, very clear, very simple to understand. A child can understand this. Listen what he says. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with who? With us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Very simple, right? I mean, a child can understand. It's like math. 1 and 1 is 2. Why aren't they with us? Because they were not of us. They never were. Because if they would have continued with us. They apostatized from the faith. How? They were listening. They were giving heed to a seducing spirit. I remind you tonight, beloved, that this is a battle that is not just physical. It may not be physical, but spiritual. Obviously, men were the instruments used. Obviously, and we'll get to that in a bit. Obviously, they listened through some preacher preaching to them, Brother Joe, to some televangelist, to some man that seduced men and women to believe the doctrine of devils. Listen to the importance of this. Look what John says also. In 2 John, this is the word deceiver or imposter or misleader. In 2 John 7, please, 2 John 7. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Also, listen what he says in 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, Brother Joe, I mean, I know when you tell someone, this is what the word that says, I know, but. This is what it says. But there's got to be another interpretation. Remember, Timothy is not contending about perhaps an interpretation of a scripture, a misinterpretation. Or he's not dealing with, you know, well, that's the way you read it. I read it differently. He's dealing with the importance of sound doctrine. They had compromised sound doctrine. It was to the losing of their souls. So yes, he has to write urgently. Timothy, I want you to set that in order. But while you do that, I want you to know some will not going to accept that. Why? Verse 4. Chapter 4. 1 John 4.
1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now, already, it is in the world. Deceivers. Let's go back to Timothy. Seducing spirits. How is it that they will depart? He says, verse 1, giving heed. Try the spirits. Don't give heed to the spirits. Don't give heed to strange doctrines. Don't give heed, he says, to Jewish fables. Don't give heed to those things. But on the contrary, look what he says, what you should give heed to, verse 13 of the same chapter. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That's our word. Give heed. Put your mind into it. Dig into the word. Arm yourselves with the helmet of faith. Occupy yourselves. If you do these things, he says, you'll show, you appear profitable, as he says in verse number 15. They're seducing spirits, they're imposters, they're deceivers, they're wanderers. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance, as he says in Hebrews verse chapter 2. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. But we're not to give heed to seducing spirits. There's some things we need to give heed to. What, Brother Joe? What is it that we need to take heed to? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 tells us. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which, what? We have heard. And hearing is not as simple as it sounds. I'll tell you that right now. Let me say it again. Hearing is not as simple as it sounds. There's many distractions that keep you from receiving the word tonight. This is important. Eternity is important. We, says the apostle or the writer of Hebrews, ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Give heed. My son, give me your ear. Receive my instruction. He says in the book of Proverbs. Hide them in the tables of your heart. Seek wisdom as a miner which finds the root of the silver. He doesn't stop when he sees the root of the silver or gold vein. He keeps digging. So shall you look for wisdom and hear for wisdom. God has provided these words. Attend unto wisdom. Attend to no understanding. Get wisdom. Get understanding. How do I do that? Here. But I don't give heed to seducing spirits. I give heed to reading. I give heed to the preaching of God's word. What did you preach this morning? Brother, shall I go from row to row? We'll find out who heard. As a matter of fact, I'm going to surprise you. I don't know who was here this morning. But if you were here this morning, all of you received the word. So did the four types of grounds. They all received it. Go read the parable of the sower. They all received the word. They all heard the word. But some fell by the wayside. And what happened? He says, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it not. Immediately cometh the devil and snatcheth that which you sow. It's interesting that the devil has interest in the word of God, don't he? That it don't give it a chance to germinate in your heart. He's interested. I don't want to leave it there. It might just produce something. That's it. The second one received it. The third one received it. But the fourth one, he says, is the one that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it. He understands the word. Listen, he understands everything, brother, because some 30-fold, 60-fold, some 100-fold, but they receive the word, understands it. Did you receive the word this morning? Did you hide it in your heart? Why would I hide it in my heart? That I might not sin against you, that I may be protected against these false doctrines, Brother Joe, these imposters. Not everyone that says, I'm God's prophet, I'm God's teacher, just because they hold a Bible and say, oh, come and hear the word, don't mean they're God's people. You know, if they just preach lies, they would just come out and say, I'm lying to you. It would be easy, but it's not. It's a seducing and deceiving spirit. And if you, I know, I saw the notes, Brother Joe. If you read there what he says in Peter, through covetousness. Because people are covetous. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. And yes, yeah, because he says, you know what? Let's pass the plate around. You put in a dollar, God will give you 100. You put 1,000, God will give you 100 times that. It passed the plate. It gets packed, Brother Joe. A deceiving spirit. That's a deceiving spirit. People listen to that. But they cannot take sound doctrine. They can't have sound doctrine. They can't endure sound doctrine. But there's doctrine of spirits, evil spirits, and doctrines of demons. They will accept. Don't give heed. Give attendance or take heed to reading. Give heed to the things you have heard. And take heed to yourself also, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed to yourself. Not to the deceiver. Now, look what he says back in the book of Timothy. Let's go back to Timothy. He says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, there's only one devil. There's many demons, but there's only one devil. The Bible teaches that. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that he's saying it was wrong to teach about demonic beings? Is that what it's saying, brother? It's not what it's saying. Here, he's giving you the origins of their doctrines. Here, he's giving you the father of all false doctrine. Because the next verse, speaking lies, pseudo-logos, false words. They're not true words. They're false words. Where do they come from?
Where do the lies come from? Well, Jesus tells us. In the book of John, he tells us. Look at John, please. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus Christ tells these men here, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. That's why they can't stay in the truth, brother. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. So now, let me get back on track. These false teachers, these pseudo-apostles, these false brethren, they don't tell you right outright, this is a lie. Because then people wouldn't accept it. But they mix it with truth. They have to mix it with some truth. Now, let's go back to Timothy so you can see something here. The means, their origins are demonic. These doctrines have their origin in the pit. They're satanic in their influence. They're contrary to the Spirit of God. And they don't glorify God. They don't glorify God. And some perhaps may teach on the doctrine of asceticism. And he deals right there in verse number 3 what some of these doctrines are, forbidding to marry, etc., etc., abstaining from meats. But my point here tonight is this, in verse number 2, these doctrines of devils are promulgated, they're advanced by men. Men! Now, my point is this, how do they get their inspiration? How can they read? They have to read some word. They have to. They have to read some scripture. They have to. How can they preach to a multitude knowing that they're not going to heaven? How can they hold an audience in awe, Brother Joe? How can they do it? How can they hold people in awe? Listen to him speak. Well, I'm glad what Christ says. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. But others, they will not hear. And they will not follow. Pretty simple, right? These, as Revelation illustrates, are dragons dressed in sheep's clothing. They'll deceive outwardly. They'll appear. They'll have a form of godliness. They have to have it. Ron, if I tell you, I'm going to lie to you, Ron. You're not going to accept that. But they have a form of godliness. They appear to be holy. But when they speak, blasphemies. Blasphemies. They have to speak. They have to be as Jacob. When he came to Isaac, he touched him. Well, you feel like Isaac. You smell like Isaac. Esau. You smell like Esau. You feel like he's, let me hear you talk, boy. These may appear to be men of God. But when you hear him speak, listen.
Listen carefully. Does it line up? You have the word. Come on. You have great teachers here that teach you God's word. Take heed. Men are used to introduce these doctrines, but note what he says also. Verse 2. 1 Timothy 4:2. Speaking lies. Not only are they good talkers, they're good actors. That's what it says. That word hypocrite is the word for an actor in the Greek culture. Right? I mean, when you watch a movie, Brother Joe, I know you saw Gettysburg, but those men really didn't die, Brother Joe. But they made you cry. I'll pick one. My favorite. Old Yeller. He didn't die. Old Yeller didn't die. But I cried. He's a good actor. And then when you watch a movie, right, and so they're in a hospital dying, you're weeping like, oh, oh. But they didn't die. They're good hypocrites. That's the term. They're good hypocrites. They're playing a part which is not real. They're acting. They're make-believe. These guys are good at it. Listen to what it says. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They're speaking under the influence of Satan. Jude, let's go back to Jude. We're going to close in a bit. I got 5 more points. I learned that from Brother Joe, okay? No, I don't. No, you can rest. Amen. But in Jude, or should I say, like, does he still say that? Well, that was just my introduction. Does he still say that? Does he still say that? You're like, ooh. All right. When Jude, he says, verse 16, Jude 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So there's an admiration, but you know what? They're void of truth. That's the thing, they're void of truth. They're great admiration, they're great speakers, they're great actors, there's no truth. But he says, look what he says also. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers at in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. They don't have truth. They don't have the Spirit. So my question would be, where do they get their messages? They're prophesying. They're doing all like Baal, as he uses Baal. Baal prophesied. Baal spoke truth. Or Balaam, I should say. He spoke truth. Oh no, yeah, he did. Go read Balaam. God spoke to Balaam. You know that? It's no big deal. Because when it came to it, brother, the prophet became the donkey, and the donkey became the prophet. He couldn't see the hand of God against him. He couldn't see God's sword really to kill him. But the donkey did. And Peter and Jude use an irony in their language when they call them these brute beasts. These brute beasts. The beast became the prophet. The prophet became a beast. Where did they get their inspiration? From Satan. Let's go back to this. Let's close it up. I'm not, I didn't even begin to touch on that. You know that. I thank you, brother. Because now he says, not only are they good liars, they're hypocrites, but here's the question I ask. How can they truly preach or teach to the conscience of man? How can they do it? How can you address the conscience of man? How can they teach spiritual truths which they don't know? How can they? How can they preach a God whom they do not know? And how can they preach a salvation which they have not experienced? How can they do so? Listen to the next phrase. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's how. That's how they can preach. Doesn't bother them. Doesn't bother them that you or your eternal state makes no difference. Because they're hirelings, as Jesus said. They care not for the sheep. When the wolf cometh, he fleeth. Because they're not his sheep. When the thief cometh, he fleeth. Because they're not his sheep. He's only a hireling. I'm only here. I get paid. And that's my salary. But the true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the difference. I'm not going to share a lot of things, but this man and I have wept together over some things in our lives and your lives. Why? Why, brother? Because we care for them. We care for you as the sheep. These men here. But isn't it interesting, brother, that some that you do show a lot of care, they don't care? You care for, and then I can say that right now, because I know that. But these here in verse 2 is not speaking about those that depart from the faith, but the means or the men. The men who will introduce these devilish doctrines. They have their conscience seared. They're wolves. Don't marvel. Don't marvel. Can I read one text in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? 2 Corinthians 11, he says in verse 13, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, no marvel, no surprise. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Everybody sees that light when they die, right? Well, I wonder where they're going. I wonder where they're going. Or where they went. Or where they were going. Because they didn't die. Tell you that right now. You say, I almost died. You didn't almost die. You didn't die. When it's time to go, you're going to get it. When it's time to go, you're going to go. Remember that. But says verse 15, therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their words. So not only their deeds, their speech, but their works betray whom they serve. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith. What does it mean to have their conscience here? Let's close. Let me borrow a text from Ephesians. Okay? So you see what it means. What does it mean to have the conscience seared? What does it mean? Being past feeling. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the love of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. And here verse 19, who being past feeling. That's what seared conscience is. You take a hot iron and you apply it to the flesh. That flesh becomes deadened. There's no sensitivity. It's dead. It's past. It's hardened. Their conscience is that. What tells them is wrong is dead. They don't care. They don't care for you. They don't care for your soul. What is that they want, Brother Joe? To lead you astray. Because the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils through the hypocrisy through men. Hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared. Cauterizada. I don't know how to say it in English. Can't say it anymore. My mouth is so dry. Help me now. Cauterizada. Gracias. Seared with a hot iron. Not that they believe. Not that they left the faith. They never had faith. Their conscience has no feeling. Due to the cauterization of demons. Go read it. Demons. There's your doctor. So take heed what you hear. And take heed how you hear.